and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them. And I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We pray that a spirit of revelation, illumination, a spirit of edification, God, would fall upon this body. We also pray for conviction, God. Do you up in here, Lord God. Have your way with us. I pray I decrease and you increase. Save somebody. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we've been studying in the book of Acts, amen. We've been reflecting on Stephen's defense. And as he's defending himself, he's kind of going through talking about the patriarchs, amen. And he's been talking about Abraham. He's talked about Jacob, amen, and Joseph. And right now he's on Moses, you know. As he's talking about Moses, we've just been kind of going through, amen, Moses being born and being the son of Pharaoh's daughter in the royal courts. We've talked about him when he reached a full 40, it came into his heart to visit his people. We saw one of his people suffering wrong. He saw that. He attacked the Egyptian after defending his homeboy. They understood not that he would be the leader. Next day, Moses saw two Hebrews fighting. He said, why do you wrong one another? They retorted and said, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? And Moses left. He went on the backside of a Midianite desert. He thought that the calling was over. He thought that him delivering Israel was over, but God had not forgotten. God spoke to Moses through a flame of fire in a bush. And God says, I've seen the affliction of my people. I've heard their groaning. I've come down to deliver them. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, Moses. You see? And the Moses that they rejected, that was the Moses that God had selected, amen, to be a deliverer, hallelujah, and a ruler in Israel. Amen. He brought them out. And when he brought them out, hallelujah, he told them that another prophet was coming, another testamentary prophet, a prophet who was going to change laws and customs just like he did. Amen. And of course, he was prophesying about our Savior, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Last week, we talked about Moses bringing them to Sinai. And while Moses was up in Sinai Mountain 40 days and 40 nights, amen, he gave them what the Bible called the lively oracles, amen, which were the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law, the Levitical Law. And we just talked about how much that was a privilege as a people that God would introduce himself to us and allow us the opportunity to get to know him on a more specific basis, amen, to learn his ways, to go deeper than just the natural law, a mere observation of his creation, amen, but to give us actually written code to know him, his will, his ways, his plans, amen. And that's what he did for us as a people. We saw that Israel would not obey, amen, and they would not obey because the law, amen, hallelujah, dealt with the external, hallelujah, but us as a people, us as humans, we have a heart problem which is internal, amen, and so because, hallelujah, they were with God in the wilderness with Moses, but their hearts, where were their hearts? It was back in Egypt. Their hearts were back in Egypt, and we said that we got to be careful because God don't see like man sees. You see, we could be in this place, but our hearts be someplace else. And God see our hearts, all right? And when he see our hearts, it hurts him, it offends him, that he could be so good to us, but our hearts could be somewhere else, someplace else, on someone else besides him. We also talked about, amen, how they rode up on Aaron, and they say, Aaron, make us gods. You see, they had forgot Moses, they had forgot the Most High, and they displayed the weakness of the law. Amen, to be able to make people perfect, to make people righteous. Amen. The law was our schoolmaster to point us to Christ. The law was never there as a bridge to get us to heaven. The only bridge for us to get to heaven is the cross of Calvary. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. So we'll have 3 points today. Amen. First point, they made a calf. Second point, God gave them up. Third point, I will carry you away. Right? They made a calf. God gave them up. I will carry you away. Let's look at our first point. They made a calf. We get this fresh out of verse 41. The Bible says, and they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifices. Unto what? Unto the idol. And they rejoiced in the works of their own hands. The Bible says they made a calf. All right? What we need to understand is that calf worship was a part of the Egyptian religious system. It really was. And their hearts were still in Egypt. So they were still doing things the Egyptian way. All right? Calf worship was a part of the Egyptian religious system. In Egypt, TP, there was three major false deities, false gods in Egypt. All right? There was Ra. All right? Who they considered the sun god. And that's why you'll see his symbol. It's like an eye, amen, in the sun, amen. And you'll see that still to this day, amen. They'd use those holy ankhs. It's like a cross with a circle on the top. And that's why you got to be careful the things you wear and the things you put on, different things, amen. You don't know where that come from sometimes, all right? And it represents false gods and false deities, all right? And a lot of stuff come from Egypt that's still here in our second Egypt. So be careful, all right? And so Ra, the sun, quote unquote, small g, God, was one of their deities. Brother Kevin Briscoe, they also worshiped the Nile River, all right? And so men, they look for things to worship because they know that there is a God, all right? They just don't know who he is in a more specific way. So they worshiped the sun because it looked like the sun gave a lot of benefits to the land. They worshiped the Nile River because the Nile River watered their crops. Amen. They used it for transportation, for water, for drinking. Amen. It was so many things. And so they worshiped the Nile. Amen. They also worshiped cattle. Cows, calves, amen. And this is why we have right here when they say, Aaron, make us a god. Aaron went back to his Egyptian ways and he made a calf. Fresh out of Egypt, all right? And to study it even deeper, amen, when God plagued Egypt, God didn't plague Egypt arbitrarily, no. God selected the deities that they worshiped when he plagued Egypt, all right? And he wanted to show them some things. You see, he wanted to show to Egypt, to Israel, and to the rest of the world, amen, that these things that you consider gods are not gods. I've created those things. And I have the power, amen, to manipulate these things. And these things can't manipulate me, the Most High is saying. So what he did in his first plague, you want to worship the river and the Nile? The first plague, he had his man stand out there and turn the great mighty Nile into blood. Now what you going to do? What the Nile going to do? Huh? You got the wrong God. So they switch up and they say, well, we're going to worship the cattle. Then God said, all right, you want to worship the cattle? He walk out there, have his man speak a word, and guess what happened to the cattle? They all fall into disease and disarray. No, you can't worship cattle. You can't worship the Nile. Well, we'll worship Ra and the sun god. Surely he's the most powerful God. And God got his man Moses come out there, amen, hallelujah, snap his fingers, and the sun go out like clap on, clap off. It's dark over there. How long? 3 days. Three dark days. When God was saying, you got it all wrong. The sun is not God. The Nile is not God. And cattle is not God. You understand what I'm saying? God says there's only one and true and living God. And Yahweh is his name. You see? And so we look at those things and we see it was arbitrary. Oh, no. God was putting the world on notice. You see? There's no God but him. But obviously Israel, like always, didn't pay attention to the lesson. They overlooked some things on the syllabus, you see? Because as soon as he pulled them out of that, you know what I'm saying, abasing these false deities. And Moses is gone for too long. They want to make a calf as their God. And they walk up there, these be your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. Could you imagine how God felt? Could you imagine how God felt? You see? One commentator says, God made man from the dust. And man is always looking to make a God from the dust. God made man from dust, but man is always looking to make a God from the dust. You see? The Bible says here that they not only made a calf, but they offered sacrifices to the idol and rejoiced in the works of their hands. And what this means is that they took animals and they sacrificed animals to this calf. They danced and they played, amen, even in an immodest fashion. If you remember the story, Moses and Joshua hearing them while they was in Mount Sinai. And they did all this in worship, in adoration, in praise to this idol. Now, this really burnt God up, Mark, because when you study the wilderness and the 40 years in the wilderness, they never made all that fuss about God. That's why in verse 42, he tells him in 42, he said, you ain't never did that for me. He says, you house of Israel, have you, hallelujah, offered to me slain beasts and sacrifice by the space of the 40 years you was in the wilderness? You was in the wilderness 40 years. I took you out of Egypt. I fed you, gave you drink. You ain't never offered no sacrifice for me. But you're going to take my praise and my glory and my honor and my acclaim and my accolades, and you're going to give it to this little golden calf who ain't done nothing for you. You see? But man is always looking to ascribe the glory of God to something else. Whether to himself, to someone else, to something else. And God had warned us in his word. He said, I am the Lord. He said, I will share my glory with no other. Come on, give God some glory in his house. All right? I'm going to talk with you a little bit about idolatry this morning. Amen? And idolatry is a sin that really gets under God's skin, if you know what I mean. He hates it, y'all. He hates it. Amen. Ooh, one of his top sins he hates. All right. How do you know that, Pastor? Because when he went to write the Ten Commandments, he put it as the first two. Number one, thou shalt have no other God beside me. Number two, thou shalt not make any graven images. That's the top two. So you know, coming into the law, that was on his heart. All right? So we're going to talk about idolatry a little bit. Let me give you a definition of idolatry. It's going to be important for you to press in so you can understand this first point, amen, because the second point and third point, we're going to wrap it all up together. All right? Idolatry is, number one, when we trust anything more than God. When we trust anything more than God. Number two, when we love anything more than God. All right? Number three, all right, Brent, I kind of mixed up some things on the way here. I hope you got my text message. Number three, idolatry is when we worship anything besides God, all right? That's what they was doing right there. Good job, Brent. That's what they was doing. Amen. And number four, idolatry is when we worship the true and living God, watch this, Brother Harvey, in the wrong way. That's idolatry too. And we'll miss that. Because you could be worshiped the one and true and living God, yeah, but doing it the wrong way. And he qualifies that as idolatry. All right? Is this all right? All right? Here we go. Let's break them all down. We're talking about idolatry. They made a golden calf, and they worshiped, they praised, they sacrificed to what? To the idol. Let's talk about idolatry. All right? Let's take the first one. When you trust anything more than God, it's idolatry. Okay? You see, because we're living in a day where most people are not going to make a golden calf and worship them. All right? At least not in America. They're doing that in other countries. Amen. They're doing that in other countries, in other religions. And, that, you know, they shouldn't be doing that. Amen. But I hope ain't nobody got a shrine up in here worshiping no calf. All right? But we got to be careful. Just because you don't worship no calf, you see, idolatry can sneak into your life some other ways. All right? Thomas Watson, in his book, The Ten Commandments, teaches us, amen, that even in the church, we can have idolatry sneaking in upon the people. When we trust things more than God, what are the things that we trust more than God? Some people trust their money more than God. They trust riches. Huh? Thomas Watson said that people look at their money, and they look at money as their creator. Money as their comforter and money as their redeemer. Money as their creator. They don't feel like they made until they reach a certain amount of money. And God say a man's life don't consist in the abundance of things in which he possesses. You see? You sitting up in here thinking you're nobody because you ain't got, hallelujah, a certain amount in your wallet, a certain amount, hallelujah, in your bank account. I'm telling you, you might have slipped into idolatry. Because God tells you who you are, whether you're rich or whether you're broke, amen, whether you got it or whether you don't have it. You're a child of the Most High King. All right? Money ain't made us. All right? Some people look for money for comfort. Amen. Don't feel right unless they have it. Huh? They happy when they get it. They sad when they don't have it. Huh? And nothing really changed in their life but the amount in the bank accounts. And it's affected their mood. You put your trust too much in money. You see? Some people trust in money as their redeemer. When they have it, they feel like nothing could touch them. They feel like any trouble they get in, they could solve. They like that rich man who said, amen, hallelujah, I'm going to build bigger bonds, amen, and take ease my soul. And God said, thou fool, tonight thy life is required of thee. See, there's some things that money can't buy. There's some things that money can't protect you from. There's some things money can't get you out of. All right? So when we put our trust in money, amen, it becomes an idol, y'all. All right? You ask Steve Jobs when that sickness jumped on him if money could help him. Money couldn't help him. Money couldn't help him. All right? The Bible says in Proverbs 10:15, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. It's where the walls he hide behind. Amen. Don't ever let that be you. Another form of idolatry, amen, is not only when we trust in money, but we trust in men. We trust in men. Huh? What you mean by that, Pastor? Well, same way. When you have a problem, you don't run to God, you run to men. You run to a man, you run to a woman, you run to a man. Amen. Hallelujah. That's your source of strength. That's your reason for being. Huh? You don't feel made, you don't feel accomplished unless you have the certain praise or appreciation of a group of people. Huh? That's that trust in men. That peer pressure that's on our kids and even today on our adults. Huh? We feel some kind of way unless we accept it in this certain clique, this certain group, unless they think we pretty, unless they think we fast, unless they think we good. Amen. Hallelujah. And we trust in the approval of men. Forget about men. Let God be true and let every man be a lie. What does God say about you? What does God say about you? God say about you, I made everything beautiful in this time. God say about you, you're more than a conqueror, man of God. So God say about you, but when you put too much stock in men, too much trust in men, you've made men an idol. And when you got man as an idol, let me tell you, man gonna make you do some things for his approval. Man gonna make you do some things for his acceptance that God don't want you to do. Right? And a lot of us with family issues, mama, daddy issues, rejection issues, A lot of us with those issues like that, amen. That man love, that desire for approval and acceptance is great in our lives. We got to be able to identify that. We got to be able to see it. Amen. Am I doing this for the glory of God? Or am I doing this to look good in front of some people? Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Huh? People also trust in their own wisdom. Huh? They trust in their own strength. Huh? When I think about wisdom, I think about education. Yeah, you went to Harvard. You went to Yale. You got an Ivy League education. Huh? So what? You can still die and bust hell wide open. You can still get in something that your diploma, your degree can't ever get you out of. You know? And we think of the strong men who're strong right now. You're young right now. You're fast right now. You're healthy right now. But let me tell you something. You don't trust in your own strength, no. Because let me tell you, the grass withers and the flowers fade. Anybody hear me up in here? You're going to get older. You can't fight it forever. Your strength going to fail. Your beauty going to vanish. Listen to me. You can't trust in those things. Huh? Because those things are not forever. It brings me down here to Jeremiah, hallelujah 9. He says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. 24, but let him that glory in this, that he understand and knoweth me, that I am the Lord would exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. God says, don't glory in none of those things. Don't lift up none of those things. Don't trust in any of those things. God says, glory in Yahweh, the Most High, the one and only true God. Come on, give him some glory in this place. Amen. Oh, yeah. Not only when you trust something more than God, hallelujah, you done slipped in idolatry, when you love something more than God. Y'all still up out there? Amen. And you got a lot of people, I'm going to move quickly, but a lot of people love money, properties, estates, possessions. There's some things in your life that God done bless you with, hallelujah, and you're not possessing your possessions. You're not possessing your possessions. Your possessions possessing you. Amen. Did I get that out right? Amen. Hallelujah. Why, that was a tongue twister, that, man. Hallelujah. Listen to me now. That house, that car, that property in the country. Amen. Them clothes, them shoes. Amen. All those things, if you're not careful, you could love them. And you could love them more than God. It reminds me of the rich and young ruler. He was living during the days of Jesus. Huh? During the days where Jesus said, listen, kings and prophets desire to see the things that y'all see. He was walking on the same roads in the same time as the Messiah. And Jesus gave him an opportunity. Jesus said, listen, you can come follow me. Come on, follow me. Huh? A once in a lifetime, once in the history of mankind kind of chance. Jesus said, you're going to have to sell everything and follow me. Because you can't have all that and follow me. You can't. No, not like that. Not right now. We're not here for that right now. That's in Jesus' ministry. So he said, Lord, come follow me. Right? Man, that rich young ruler, look at Jesus in Matthew 19:22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. Why? For he had great possessions. And his possessions possessed him. You see? I don't know about you, but if Jesus walked up to me and told me that I could be a part of his ministry on earth, which is a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-historical chance, let me tell you something. Huh? Every shoe I got, every sock I got, every shirt, every undershirt. You understand what I said? Hey, God, every house, every business, it don't even matter. You're walking with Jesus. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. Now, he don't ask us to do that right now, you know, because it's a different dispensation. But even in our day, do you know that Jesus will ask you sometimes to part with finances sometimes? He asked us to give 10%. Now, he asked this man to get rid of everything, and this man couldn't. But some of y'all can't even give 10%. Can't even give consistently to the building. You see? And a lot of that time, a lot of that is because, amen, not all of it, but a lot of it is. Some of it is bad money management, but a lot of it is, amen, because you love your money more than you love God. You love your money more than you love the house of God, the people of God, God's purpose on earth. You see? And it's the truth in the matter. Because where your money is, that your heart going to be. Some people love money more than God. Some people love pleasures more than God. And that becomes an idol. Pastor, what you're talking about? Well, there's some pleasures in this life, temporary pleasures. Huh? Alcohol, you know, them drinks. Huh? Drugs, marijuana, pills. You know, we can go on name all of them, but I don't have to do that. Huh? Some people love pleasures, amen, drugs, alcohol, women, huh, men, huh, I got to put in that little boys now, you see what I'm saying? Food, sleep, all the things that give us fleshly pleasure, it has a propensity, a possibility of pulling us away from our God. Well, Pastor, how do I know when I love it more than God, when God tell me this? And that pleasure tell me this. And I go with the pleasure instead of going with my God. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to obey my commandments. You're going to do what I say if you love me. And no man can serve how many? Two masters. You're going to love the one and hate the other. Some of us, we make an idol of our pleasures. And God said, be faithful to your wife. That woman call, amen. You put your pleasure before God. When God said, be sober, be not drunk with wine when it's in excess, and that Budweiser call, that Miller Lite call, that Hennessy call, amen, we put the pleasure before God. Huh? When God tell us, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. When he tell us, hey, God, to stay away from gluttony, to stay away from slothfulness. Are y'all with me here this morning? I'm telling you, an idol could sneak up in your life quickly. All right? When we love something more than God, we love our money, we love our pleasures. And then listen, I have here just a catch-all right here because we got to keep moving. But when people love people more than God, you love your spouse, your parents, your children, even yourself more than God, you've made an idol. You have no idea when we come to church, amen, when we used to do a lot of marriage counseling, you have no idea, amen, how many women, hallelujah, done put their husbands in the place of God. In the place of God. In the place of God. I'm telling you, oh yeah. Oh yeah, everything that ball, look, that ball moved. That ball, listen, even in that ball say, listen, we're going to leave church, we're going to leave serving God. Okay. As long as I can stay with you. You see? Oh yeah, and vice versa. The woman going to do the same thing for the man. You see, but when you see a strong woman of God or a strong man of God, listen, I've decided to follow Jesus, though none go with me, still I will follow, amen. Something happened, and you have to leave. Guess where you're going to find me? You're going to find me right up in here in church. Oh, yeah, yeah, you ain't got to look for me on Sunday. You know where I'm at. All right, because it's not about you, and I love you. I love you to pieces. I love you to pieces, but you're not my first love. I got a first love, and his name is Jesus. He's the center of my joy. You can make an idol out of a spouse, huh? And that's one of the great things that God did for me and Chantel early on. Huh? He showed us who was our first love. It's because of that our relationship worked like it worked. You see what I'm saying? Because we don't put too much stock on one another. We love one another. Listen, we've been loving each other. You see what I'm saying? Since high school, we've been loving each other. You know? But at the same time, you don't put too much stock in that. See, because no matter how much you love somebody, nobody gonna love you like God loves you. Nobody. You see, because watch this. People let you down. And they can have good intents, but they still let you down. And you can tell when you love somebody too much, when they let you down, your world crumbles. You're in depression. You don't want to eat. You don't want to sleep. You don't, oh, God, I can't go on. You done put too much into this one person. See, when you love God the most, somebody could let you down. You know what I'm saying? But you say, hey, God, at least I still have you, Lord. At least I still have you. I don't have nobody else. Nobody else don't hear me. They don't understand me. That Negro acting up again. But, oh, God, I got you. That's the whole parable he tell us when some build their life on the sand and some build their life on the rock. See, when you build your house on the rock, your foundation is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Your love is founded upon God. He's your first love. And so when the storms come, the rain, the wind, are you hearing me up in here? When they come and they beat upon the house of your life, it can't shake it. Because it can't shake your foundation. Your foundation is God. Young person, listen to me. A man is not your foundation. A woman is not your foundation. Your job is not your foundation. Your education is not your foundation. Your money is not your foundation. All those things are movable. It's sand. You see? God is your foundation. You see? And you'll never have a problem. Listen, we put it in spouses the same way we do with our parents. Parents will call some in here right now. I'm tired of you going to that church. Come back to our religion we was part of. And them children get up and they take their bag in the middle of service and leave. Them children uncomfortable worshiping the true and living God while mama and daddy upset. Let me tell you something, man. Man, when I got saved, man, listen to me. Don't none go with me. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm radical. I'm a last born. I'm not a first. I'm radical. You understand what I'm saying? You understand? You know, and it's not, you see, it's not that you don't love your people, no. It's not that you don't love your people. But compared to your love for God, let me tell you something. Everything pale in comparison. They walk up on Jesus, your mom and your dad was like, Jesus, who's my mom and my dad? Who's my sister and my brother? Those that serve the Most High, that's my mama, my daddy, my brother, and my sister. That. You understand what I'm saying? It's not that I don't love them. No, look, that's my family sitting right. I love my mama to pieces. I think about her often, especially since I got a son and I watch my wife with her, with Lamar. I say, oh, Lord, that's the way I used to be with mama. Oh, mama. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. And Chocho, my big brother, We don't call him Key, we call him Chocho. Everybody say Chocho. Chocho. Yeah, that's what we call. Key. Oh, yeah, slept in the same bed, baby. My dog. You understand what I'm saying? Getting a little trouble in Port Davis, Port Key. The ball messing with me. All right? My dog, all right? But there was a time, amen, where God called me out. You know what I'm saying? He called me out. All right? And when God called you out, you can't worry about what anybody else doing them. All right, you love them and you always be there. You kind of like, hey, boy, if we could serve together, that'd be great. You know? But listen, that's your salvation. And it's your walk with God. You got to go out. You got to run after God for yourself. No matter what mama do, daddy do, sister do, brother do. None of that even matter. And if you do it right, if you do it right, if you just do it right, all right, all right, you look up and all of y'all serving the Most High God. It was always predestined for all of us to serve Him together. It was always predestined. We were studying the Bible together as children. It was predestined for us. All right, all right. Don't put nobody before God. Not your parents, not your spouses, not even your children. That's idolatry. Got the parents in here putting them children way before God. Let them children do anything they want. Disobey God. Hallelujah. Shame you. Shame your house. Hey, God, you won't put the rod on them young children. You won't rebuke them children. You ain't no different than Eli with his sons. Huh? You let them do all manner of wickedness, and you ain't standing up for God in your own house. God is saying you done put a love on them children, and that's greater than the love that you done put on me. God look at you and say, where my honor? You honoring them children, where my honor? You loving them children, where my love? You cutting for them children, why you ain't cutting for me? You see? We got to get a revelation, man. Listen, we love our children, man. We love them. We love them to pieces. We die for them at the drop of a dime, Bryce. But at the end of the day, he my first love. He my first love. He my first love. He my first love. And I tell them, yeah, love mom and daddy, yeah. But you better love God more than you love mom and daddy. Oh, yeah, you better love him. You better, man, listen. Huh? Oh, yeah. Better love him because he can get you out of some place that dad will never be able to get you out of. When I come to help you, I got to call on him. See, all that is idolatry. You see? I got to keep on moving, y'all. You see, and you got to watch that because if you mess around, love something more than God, God will take it away from you. Got to take it clean away from you. All right, he do that out of mercy, too. Oh, yeah, he do that out of mercy so you can get right, not bust hell wide open. He do that out of mercy. I see you can't function with this person in your life. Come on here. Come on here. I need your attention. You can't pay attention to me while you got this person in your life. Come on here. Come on here. Come on here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you give us a personal announcement on the PA system. All right, let me give you another one. Idolatry is when we worship anything besides God. All right? And that's the one we're familiar with. That's the one that Israel is guilty of right here. All right? They make a golden calf, you know? They broke the first two commandments before the proverbial ink was even dry on the paper. You see? In the first commandment, God said, hallelujah, he said, don't worship any other God. You know, worshiping false gods are forbidden. You see? And you got to understand God's heart in this, y'all. You see? And I'm going to turn to Exodus 20 so we can kind of look at it. Brent, I didn't give you down, but I'm going to Exodus 20 in verse 3. That's the chapter of the Ten Commandments. Easy to remember. The Ten Commandments is in Exodus 20, you see? But as we get to the second commandment in 20, look what he tells us. He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. And so God forbids, y'all, us making any image of anything. He's talking about above the earth, in the earth, or under the earth. He's covering every category from angels to men to fish to birds to cattle. God is saying, don't you dare make any kind of statue. Amen. Hallelujah. So you could pray to him. So you could honor. So you can kiss the feet. All that. That's dirty. That ain't clean. You see? All that. He say, don't do that. You see? And a lot of us come from that because we never knew the truth. We never knew the Bible. All right? But when you know better, you do better. All right? All right? And a lot of us, amen, we save, amen, but we still not renewed. Amen. Some of y'all go home, y'all still got statues in your front yard. You see, when you know your Bible, oh, God, I think I just hit somebody. See, when you know your Bible and you know idolatry, you know what I'm saying? Oh, but that's Jesus' mama and that's Jesus' brothers. He said, don't make any graven image. Anything in the heavens up above the earth, in the earth, or underneath the earth, or in the water. I don't care if it's a worm. You don't make no images to pray to bow to, nothing. That's idolatry. That's idolatry. And that's what he tells us in verse 5 of Exodus 20. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. That serve is a worship, a prayer, a adoration. That's a no-no. That's a no-no. That's a no-no. And a lot of us saints, we don't know how serious God is about idolatry. He give us two reasons in that first verse 5. He says, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. That could be a shirt, bro. Ooh, jealous God. You know? Because the earth has forgotten how jealous our God is. You understand what I'm saying? They've forgotten. You see? But let me bring it to you like this. Our relationship with God is us and God. It's compared to our earthly relationship. He gave us an earthly relationship as a symbol, a parable of sorts to understand how he feel about us. He say, hallelujah, our relationship with God is like a relationship between a husband and a wife. See, husbands love your wife like Christ loved the church. And he was giving us marriage as a picture of God in us. All right? Well, in marriage, faithfulness is essential. All right? And what you got to understand is, hallelujah, when we make an idol, pray to an idol, bow down to an idol, God sees that as infidelity in the spirit. You see, when you get saved and you say, God, you my God, when you get baptized, that's like the marriage ceremony, all right? You're telling God, God, you my man, God, and there's no other God for me. It's me and you. I'm going to worship the Lord thy God, and you alone shall I serve. You are God alone. You understand what I'm saying? I'm looking to nobody else. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Anybody hear me up in here? All right? It's a monogamous relationship. That's what it is. But I'm telling you that the problem with idolatry that we have lost in the earth in the present time is that idolatry to God is spiritual adultery. You done walked out and you've cheated on him. You understand what I'm talking about here? We know that that's the way God feel because it's in the scriptures. If we look at Ezekiel, he would tell him, he said, you went a whoring after other gods. That's how he say that. That's how he say that. When we look at the book of Hosea, my wife gave me this one this morning. The book of Hosea, he wanted to show us how he feel. He said, Hosea, go get your wife. Which wife should I get, God? Go get Gomer. Who's Gomer? She a street woman. A harlot. A prostitute, God said. God, why you want me to marry her? Because I want you to see how I feel. Because every time I turn my back, you're bowing and bending to somebody else. You're playing the harlot on my time, God said. With all of these idols. You see? That's the way God feels about that. And it hurts him. It breaks his heart. And he wanted Hosea to feel how he feels. You see? A betrayal, a broken heart. You see? When we make an image of a false god, it's forbidden, y'all. You see? And God don't want us to operate like that. He's a jealous God. Not only that, but in verse 5, he says that not only am I jealous, but I'm going to do something when you play with me like that. He said, I'm going to visit your iniquity. When you cheat on me with these statues and these images, with this money, with these people that you put before me, with these estates you put before me, with all of this stuff, this praise of men that you put before me, I'm going to visit some things on you. No. We ain't going to let you be acting like that. And there ain't going to be no repercussions. I'm going to visit some iniquity on you. And I'm not going to only visit it on you, but I'm going to visit it on your children. And not just your children, but your children's children. Oh, and not just your children's children, but your children, children, children. Hey, God, up until the what? The third and the fourth generation of all them that hate me. Because when you're rolling like that on me, you don't really love me. Now listen to me. Now we're going to get into it in this next point. But watch me now. Watch me now. God reacts to idolatry, y'all. He reacts to it. He judges it. He punishes it. And we lived our life in that idolatrous denomination, that idolatrous religion, and didn't even know we was under judgment. Didn't even know he was punishing us, our children, and our children's children. But if we looked up the lineage, if we looked up the family tree, we would see his hand of chastisement and judgment on it for this idolatry. Oh, somebody not hearing me up in here. It's serious to him. Serious to him. They playing games, bending and bowing and trusting and loving him. Let me give you another. This is the last one. Brent, we're going to add this one. Look. I think you got the text message. Idolatry is when you worship the true and living God in a false way. In a false way. That's our next one. Idolatry is when you worship the true and living God in a false way. And it's very important for you to get this in your mind. See, because you could have the right God, but worship him the wrong way. Remember what Jesus told them, boys? He said, listen, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Meaning that if you don't worship God according to truth, if you don't worship God the way he want to be worshipped, you have just crossed over into idolatry. See, man is so proud. They won't tell God how they want to worship. You understand what I'm saying? God, we're going to worship you this way. God, like, boy, please. You're going to worship me like I tell you to worship me. You're going to be saved the way I tell you to be saved. You see, the earth don't know what a God is no more. The earth don't know what a God is no more. The earth don't know what a real king is anymore. The earth don't know what real authority is anymore. We don't tell God what to do. God tells us what to do. And he says, this is the way I want to be worshipped. And I don't care what you think about it. That's God, y'all. We don't know authority no more. We don't even listen to our parents no more like we should. We don't even honor our husbands like we should. We don't even honor our bosses like we should. We don't even honor our pastors like we should. We don't even honor our secular leaders like we should. How in the world are we going to get to a place where we honor God like we should? Understand authority going up and down the scale. We're going to tell God how to worship. How are we going to worship him? You know? No. That's not the way God operates. Now, embedded in the second commandment, watch this, Jen. Watch this. Embedded in the second commandment is God telling us, don't worship me the wrong way. Because he's telling them, refrain yourself from making images of false gods. But also, refrain yourself from making an image of me, God is saying. All right? He tell his people, don't make no image of me. That's what he say. That's what he say. And all the time we drawing God, we drawing Jesus, and we got God as an old white man, or these days old black man since y'all woke now. You know what I'm saying? All right? And that's cool, the black part, but listen to me. All right? Listen to me. You got to understand, y'all. Anytime you make an image of God, you done messed up. You done messed up. God said, don't make any graven image of the false thing or the real thing. And I'm going to tell you why we mess up making an image of God. Because they ain't never seen God. Woo! They ain't never seen it. So when you make an image of him, you lie. Because you ain't never seen him. Second reason, God is a spirit. Oh, God. God is spirit. How you make an image of a spirit? How you make an image of a spirit? That old man is not God. You lied. You done put an image on it. All right? You can't put an image on a spirit. That's why I say make no graven image. All that stuff in the Sistine Chapel, two white men touching each other, ain't got no clothes on. That's not God, man. That's not God. That's debauchery. That's sin. That's the sinful imaginations of reprobate men and women. And that's not our God. Are you with me here so far? And that's why God is offended with idolatry. All right? Because anytime you make an image of God, it's a lie. Number two, it's a step down from who he really is. You've just debased God. You've stepped him down. You've taken his essence away from him. All right? Because what image is going to hold the dignity, the majesty, the omnipotent power, the omniscient wisdom? What image you going to do? What you going to do, an elephant? An eagle? A old man? Huh? What you going to do? How can you represent him when he is exceedingly abundantly above everything that we can ask, hope, or imagine? So you just knocked him down. So the best you could do is keep your pen in your pocket. The best you could do is keep your hands off that stone. Make no image. It's idolatry. You see? It's idolatry. That'd be like somebody drawing you. But they pick an animal to draw you as. So there they go. They draw you as Miss Piggy or Kermit the Frog. You know what I'm saying? And they put your ears on that and all that. And they're like, oh, that's you. And they think it's funny. But you're like, I ain't no pig. You're stepping me down. You're taking a higher creature and you're putting me in the category of a lower creature. That's an insult. You best be lucky I'm saved. I might steal you. All right? All right? Because why? You stepped me down. You took a higher creature and put me in the category of a lower creature. Now let's go to God. When you make that idol, you're not taking a higher creature. You're taking the creator who is outside the realm of creature. And you're bringing the creator who is in a category all by himself and putting him in the category of creature, stepping him down to a calf, stepping him down. And then stop stepping God down. It's offensive to him. It's offensive to him. That's why when we put the cross, we don't put Jesus on the cross. That's why when we see a picture of a God or something like that, me and my wife, we shrill at that. We like, ooh. Because no image encapsulates his glory. You see? You see? Yeah. Yeah. Since the image is not God, watch this. God takes this as idolatry. Since the image is not God that we make of him, he takes that as idolatry. Because he look and you bending down to that image that's by him and you praying. And God passed by, what you doing? All right? And you look up and you say, God, I'm praying to you. And God look at that image and he look at you. He look at that image, he look at you. He look at that image, he look at you. And he say, that's not me. So who you really praying to? And if you know your Bible, woo, it's the devils that's behind idols. Oh, you don't want too much. That's why sometimes you can look at them, they blink. Oh, yeah, blood be coming out of them. Oh, it must be real. Oh, yeah, real devilish. Listen to me good now. Listen to me good. Husband and wife been mad a long time. They love each other. Watch this now. You walk up there and you open his wallet. He got a picture of another woman up in there. He got a picture. He got a picture of another woman on his screensaver on his phone. You hit that, you're like, ooh, who's that? And so you wait for him when he get off of work. You walk around the house like Mufasa up in there. The minutes seem long. He says, you get off, hey, bro. Hey, Holmes. You know what I'm saying? You forgot your phone, home. And I just, you know I went, it just fell and it. It just fell and your code just went in it. You know? And when I looked at it, you got this picture of this other woman as your background, as your screensaver. And then I went in your wallet, and you got this, about the same picture in your wallet. And the husband come up with a grand scheme. He said, baby, that's you. He said, baby, that's you. Now the wife looked at the phone, looked at the picture. And she like, that ain't me. If that wouldn't work in your home. Oh, they get me, Jenna. They get me now. If that wouldn't work in your home with your wife, how is that going to work with God? You got that image, you're praying, telling you, God, that's you. God, like, that ain't me. Woo! Idolatry. Idolatry. I'm going to say this for our deeper theologians. I'm going to add this one. We're going to move on here in a second. You see? We can add this one, Brent, but don't worry about it. I'm just going to say it. This is for our deep students. Idolatry is not only statues and money and different things, but you can have an idea of God that's not consistent with the truth of God, and that'd be idolatry. You know, when in your systematic theology, you have an idea of a God that'll never judge the earth, that'll never punish mankind, that'll never send anybody to hell, all right? You worship in another God because that God is not consistent with the God of the Bible, and it's not according to truth. And so you got to be careful the churches you go to, hallelujah, online family, listen closely. All these pastors coming out saying you can get saved without Jesus and there's no hell and all that. Listen to me. Be careful. Because in those churches, it's idolatry. Because the God they worshiping is not the God of the Bible. And when God come down, he said, well, who y'all praying to? Who y'all singing to? Hallelujah. We singing to you. God said, that ain't me. Because that's not how I operate. That system of theology don't match up with my character. And we got a lot of churches, even in mainline Christianity, even in evangelical Christianity, a lot of churches worshiping the wrong Jesus, the wrong God, because their theology is messed up. They don't know the God of the Bible. You see? Now listen to me. We're going to move off into this second point. And I want to show you how God reacts to idolatry. I believe that you see now how he feels about it. He speaks of it in certain portions of the Bible as an abomination or an abominable thing. That we should flee it. He abhors it. He don't want his people anywhere close to it. He told how they would tell Solomon, Solomon, don't mess with all these strange, idolizing women. Because listen, what's on them going to jump on you? And lo and behold, Solomon became idolater as well. He don't want his people near him, y'all. Even in the New Testament, if any man be a drunkard or this or that, an idolater, don't even chill with him. Don't hang with him. Don't eat with him. You see? Because this thing right here, God hates, and he knows it has a spirit behind it that can jump on people. Yes. Here you are, you got pictures on your wrist of all these saints and all these, come on, man. Come on, man. Here you are, you Christians, holding your cross, you crossing your hand and you're praying, like God can't hear you without this thing in your hand. This, like that's some kind of high-tech CB or something. God, you hear? Breaker 316. Shall not he that formed the ear hear? Gotta be careful of that external worship, that idolatry. All right? And let's talk about, amen, how God reacts to it. All right? Second point. God gave them up. My God. My God. Come on, God, slow down the time here. God gave them up. We ain't got no communion or nothing, up, right? We can push it. We can push it. God gave them up. Look at verse 42. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the hosts of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? The Bible here says then, right? Then. That's what it starts off in 42. And what he's saying, Aola, is when God saw the idolatry, then he responded. All right? And so God says, the Bible here says, he saw the idolatry, then God turned and gave them up. All right? So can you see it? God is with Israel. They commit idolatry. He turns and he gives them up. He gives them up. He gives them up. This word, hallelujah, this phrase, give them up, is a legal term. It has the connotation of you being in a courtroom, of the judge hearing all the facts, passing judgment on you, sentencing you, and giving you up to the authorities to take you. You know? Which is one of the saddest times in the courtroom. When they pass down to 10 years to 20 years, the life imprisonment. And when they say, bailiff, take the defendant. That's when the mamas go crazy. Because they know that that child is no longer in their hands or in their control. Judgment done fell. That's what he means when he say, he gave them up. He give them up to judgment. He give them up to punishment. He give them up to sentencing. Philly, the response of idolatry is God giving you up. He gave them up, the Bible says, to worship what? The host of heaven. And what God is saying, if you don't want me, huh? Do what you want to do. And that's the saddest thing that God could ever tell a person. If you don't want me, do what you want to do. If you won't do me, then do you. All right? And what it is when we reject God for something else, God rejects us. He gave them up. That's a sad thing, huh? This is what Romans 1 is all about. Huh? Romans 1 is all about. As I was studying idolatry, God opened up another realm of Romans 1 to me. You see, because we often focus on one or two things in Romans 1. We focus on God giving up people in Romans 1. But we never ask the reason why he gave them up. Watch this now. Watch this. God hates idolatry so much that he gives up people, gives up whole families, gives up children. Romans 1 is about God giving up, yeah, but watch close. Man, but watch close. It's going to be about God giving up. For what? For idolatry. Look at 1:23. See if you can find it here. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, an idol. The uncorruptible, the God who never get old, never die, never waxes weak. The eternal God. They change his image. Hallelujah. Made like unto, what they made it? Corruptible men. Bowing down to the old man statue, the old man painting. Huh? And to birds. Let's make him an eagle. And to four-footed beasts. Let's make him a calf. And to creeping things, let's make him a reptile or some kind of fish in the sea. What is that, Philadelphia? It starts with an I. Idolatry. As a result of idolatry, look at verse 24. God's response. Wherefore, God also did what? Gave them up. To what? Uncleanness. Through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now watch this. 24 starts off, wherefore? That means because they, hallelujah, committed idolatry and they changed his glory to worship something else. Therefore, wherefore, God gave them up as a response to it. What did he give them up to? Uncleanliness and lust, to dishonor their own bodies. Listen, God said, you want to worship something else? You don't want me? Go ahead, do what you want to do. I have here my notes. He gave them up to pursue self-destructive behavior. The self-destructive behavior that they love. All right? You don't want me? Do what you want to do. But what you want to do is going to kill you. And what you want to do is going to destroy your family. And what you want to do is going to destroy your finances. And what you want to do is going to destroy your communities. And what you want to do is going to destroy your states. And what you want to do is going to destroy your nation. And what you want to do is going to destroy and crumble the society of mankind all over the world. But if you don't want me, do what you want to do. He says he gave them up to dishonor their own bodies. That's sexual immorality. The NLT says they did degrading things with one another. Degrading things. That's fornication, adultery, pedophilia, and rape. Pastor, what's fornication? Huh? We got some new believers in here. Fornication, when you sleep with somebody you're not married to. You're 15, 16, 17 years old, and you're trying to be with somebody because they're doing that on TV, amen, and it look right on TV. Let me tell you something. It's sin in the eyes of God. All right. It's cool on TV. It's cool like everybody. Listen, it's sin in the eyes of God. All right. And because of idolatry, God will give up a people to sexual immorality, to do degrading things with their own bodies. One commentator said it like this. Watch this, Philip. He said, we see all this sin going on TV, on the news, in America, and in the world. I'm talking about the most wicked things. What they doing to children, what they doing to women out there right now, what they doing to men, little boys. We see the most degrading things, the most abominable things. And the commentator says, we look up and say, we say, God, why aren't you doing anything? God, why are you silent? Why are you not judging? Do something, God. And God looks down and says, but I am. The decadence, the immorality, the very sin you see is God doing something. The sin you see is God judging them. He is judging them by giving them over to themselves and to self-destructing behavior. Philly, if you hear anything in this point, when you look at the world and you say, oh God, you're not doing nothing, you got to see it different. The behavior is him doing something. The behavior is the judgment. When he judges for sin, when he get tired of it, he give them over. He takes off his restraining hand of grace and they begin to act any kind of way. They begin to do any kind of thing. And hallelujah, don't pray, God, judge. Open your eyes and see that that is judgment. Oh, God, have mercy. He's judging America right now. He's judging the world right now. The wickedness is judgment. He's taking off his restraining hand of grace. And I'm telling you, the main reason he gives people up, nations up, is for idolatry. Now watch this. Verse 25, watch this. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. He going right back to it. Watch this. You change the truth of God to a lie and worship and serve the what? The creature more than the creator. What is that? Again, y'all, idolatry. You change the truth of God to a lie, you worship the creature more than the creator, who's blessed forever, amen? Idolatry. Now, that's idolatry. Now watch in 26. Watch God responds, Amisha. For this cause. What cause? The idolatry. For this cause. Once again, what did he do? God gave them up to what? Vile affections, shameful desires, things they shouldn't be doing. And as if the sexual morality, the rape, the pedophilia wasn't enough, look what he says. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. What are you talking about here? The women stopped wanting men. The women stopped wanting one another. He's talking about lesbians, y'all. He's talking about lesbians. He's talking about the homosexual movement. All right? And we live in a world, amen, where they get on TV and they say it's okay for a woman to be with a woman. God not saying that. God says it's sin. And God's saying it's a sign that I've given up a generation. I'm tied up. Not only the women, but in verse 27, and likewise also the men. Men, don't look like the women just cutting up out there like that. Leaving the natural use of the women. They don't want to be with women no more, Paul's saying. Burning their lust one toward another, they begin to look at each other. Ooh, muscles. Look at them ties. Them ties. We don't want to play fag football. We want to play touch football. All right, let me stop clowning. All right, I got to keep it real. Burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Not only lesbians, y'all, but the gay movement as well, the transgender movement as well. All of that is a sign of the judgment of God. When you see the sexual morality and the homosexuality going on, it means that you're living in a time when God is judging a nation. He's judging the world. Hey, God, and more is to come in point three. But wait one second. Hallelujah. You see, we see, hallelujah, the rocks falling from the sky. We call that judgment. No. Open your eyes. See, the thing about the church is the church can discern the face of the sky. They know what the weather is, but they can't discern the signs of the times. When you see these things in the earth, God is on the move and judgment had already began. Ah, God, you got to hear me up in here. All right? Yeah. Yeah. Verse 28. You see, I saw it like I've never seen it before, and I'm going to get to it. 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That's idolatry again. We don't want to serve you. But it's idolatry on another level, John. It's idolatry, amen, deeper, wrapped in atheism, humanism, you see. It's not that just I'm going to worship a statue and make something else God. I'm going to come up to a conclusion that there is no God. There is no God. Humanism, we are the gods. You know what I'm saying? Evolution, Mother Nature. You see, you're hearing that so often now, like nature created us. Christian, you should never say Mother Nature. Because nature ain't never mothered you. Nature ain't never mothered you. God mothered you. God fathered you. God, don't ever say Mother Nature. That's a trap of the devil. Mother Nature is like saying evolution. Like nature just naturally gave birth to everything. And they do that, Miss Bridget, because they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. It's a deeper form of idolatry. Hallelujah. You're going to have a God. All right. Their God is nature. Their God is self. Their God is humanism. Is this too deep for you? Are we going too deep into philosophies of men? They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. What did God do because of it? Once again, he gave them over. You don't want me? You want Mother Nature? You don't want me? Huh? You want humanism? Man, that's the real God? That's what you want? Scientology? That's what you want? Tom Cruise? That's what you want? What does God do when they don't want to retain God in their knowledge? He gives them over. To what? A reprobate mind. Pastor, what's a reprobate mind? We throw that phrase often in the church around. What is it? It's a morally useless mind. A morally worthless mind. It's a mind that cannot make godly decisions. Good decisions, right decisions, God glorifying decisions. It's a reprobate mind, meaning that if they're in a situation, they're going to always choose that which God hates. Choose the opposite of what God wants. a reprobate mind. Are you with me here so far? All right? I'm fighting for your souls up in here. I'm fighting for the church up in here. All right? Don't you slip into any of these things. All right? Look, a reprobate mind. Look what he says. To do those things which are not convenient. You see, what did God do? He gave him over. To what? A reprobate mind, a morally worthless mind, a mind incapable of making good, godly decisions. To do what? To do those things which are not convenient. You see, first is the idolatry. Then is the reprobate mind. And then is the reprobate behavior. He give them over to a reprobate mind to what? To do. You see? Because wherever the mind go, the body follow. All right? This is important. Put that up, sound booth. Number one, remember, look, idolatry. Second, reprobate mind. Third, reprobate behavior. All right? It's important. It's important. I'm running down. You see? Remember, idolatry is one of the most serious sins in the heart of God because it gives birth to all kinds of other sins. This is why in the book of Revelation he calls Babylon. He said, Babylon, the mother of harlots, the mother of all immorality. It is the fountain of everything sinful in the earth. Why is that? Well, Babylon is the fountain of idolatry. All idolatry comes out of its soul. All sin comes out of it. Because mankind sins when they're not connected to God in the right way. In verses 29, 30, and 31. I'm about to let you go. I know I done filled your cup up, but listen. Let me top you off like they say. Let me get it overrunning for a second. See, we look at chapter 1 of Romans and we see one behavior as being reprobate. I'm going to fix the church right here. You see? The church is something else right now, yeah. In 29, look what he says. When God give them over, it's not just the sexual morality. It's not just, hallelujah, homosexuality. That's not the only way to tell when somebody reprobate. See, the church looking at only one segment of the population that's doing wrong and they're saying, you reprobate. When the very one that's calling them reprobate may be reprobate because he can't get his hands off of the boys and the women. And Watch this, y'all. 29. When God give them over, they being filled with what? All unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. I can't go on. I can't explain all of them, but I want to. Full of envy, murder, you know? That would include abortion, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, that's gossip, backbiters, that's backstabbers, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. When God give up a society, these things come out. Watch this. Disobedient to parents. They can't listen to them. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. That's why we got to put so much paperwork into the real estate market these days because people are, they can't shake hands and do a deal no more. They covenant breakers. Without natural affection. This right here, when the mama's going by the brink of rivers and throwing their newborn babies, throwing four-year-olds into waters and watching them drown. Without natural affection, something broken on the inside. It's when God give a society over. When somebody walk up in there and shoot innocent children. Preschoolers and first graders and second graders and just walk out like, look. No natural affection. And these fools in Washington. God forgive my speech. These idiots up above. Watching all this go on. They won't blame it on guns. They won't blame it on this. They won't blame it on that. Nah, blame it on yourselves. It's the judgment of God for turning your back upon him. That's what it is. You know how long they've been having guns? We never saw some of the things we're seeing right now. Killing their own parents. Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit some things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I'm almost done. Listen. The problem in the church is that we are singling out a few sins in this chapter. The church overlooks idolatry and rails on homosexuality. They overlook idolatry and rails on abortion. The church in America has been politicized by the Republican Party. Watch me now. We only touch hot button issues. And so when they talk about abortion, they're up in arms. They're up there. Hallelujah. Hey, yeah, do this. You know what I'm saying? When they talk about homosexuality, they're mean and hateful and all this, all that. But what they don't know is that the reprobate mind and all the sins we talked about, like the sexual morality, the abortion, and even the homosexuality, they're fruit from a root. They're symptoms from a cause. The real cause of that, those things, like we've studied, is idolatry. That's the real cause. And the same pastor I sit in the room with, who so filled with hate towards homosexuals, so filled with hate towards those who've slipped up because of, hallelujah, a lapse of their mind and committed the act of abortion, so hateful towards them. Watch this now. Or sit at the same table with an idolater who bow at statues and bend the knees to this and that and this and the other, and don't know that the judgment is on America, that the judgment is on the world, because we have traded in our God. We've left the fountain of living water and traded him for broken cisterns. And so because of that, he's given us up. He's given America up. And when we look out and we see all of these behaviors that's negative, listen, hallelujah, it's what's supposed to happen because God then took his hands off. Let me give you a second problem in the church. Watch this, church. Come on now. Another problem in the church is that, hallelujah, they want to stop people from acting in these sins. They want to stop the homosexuality. They want to stop the abortion. They want to stop, amen, without natural affection, you know, killing people with no regard, the unmercifulness. But watch what they want to do. They want to stop it through legislation and laws. They want to outlaw guns. They want to outlaw abortion. They want to outlaw homosexuality, all that. Even if you outlaw all of that, it's going to still go on. It's going to still go on because the problem is not with the activity. The problem is within the heart of men. The problem is they're not connected to God. Watch me, church. Listen to me. Now, we've politicized the church. We out there, amen, ban guns. We out there, illegalize abortion. We out there, and you can get caught up in that foolery. Put up 1, 2, 3 again. Idolatry, reprobate mind, reprobate behavior. What the church is trying to do is address number 3. They're trying to change the reprobate behavior. You'll never change the behavior until you change the mind. You never change the mind unless you connect them with the true and living God. So you got to do 1 and 2 before you even get to 3. Ain't no reason to be mean to them. Ain't no reason to hate them. Ain't no reason to judge them. Ain't no reason to pound them. Ain't no reason to beat them if you ain't giving them no way to change. I'm telling you, man. The church is as much as the problem as the ones they point the finger at. And I'm going to tell you why. They don't love God too. They ain't preaching no gospel in no churches. How them people going to change? There's no gospel being preached in the church. How them people going to change if we ain't pointing them to God? They come to church for a 45-minute rock service and a 10-minute sermon. With no offering at the cross of Calvary. How the world going to change? You can't change the reprobate behavior until you change the mind. Which need you to allow, you got to change the heart. And you can only change the heart by going to number 1 and getting them connected to God. Listen, Jeremiah 13:23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? No. Can the leper change his spots? No. then may ye also do good that are accustomed to doing evil. No. You need an encounter. You need a conversion. The church want to point the finger at people, but don't want to preach the gospel to them. You see? Now in Philadelphia, we a different church, baby. We a different church, baby. We a different church, baby. I'm telling you, we a different church. And look, don't you think for one second you're going to come here and somehow at this church we're going to say that sin is right and right is wrong. No. Sin is sin. But we're not going to judge you. We're not going to act like we're better than you. But what we will do is present to you that same gospel that got our soul saved, that delivered us from all of our iniquities, all of our transgressions. And what gospel is that? That there's none righteous. No, not one. That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Almighty God. That because of that fallen short state that we've in, we find ourselves separate from him. Alienated from him. On our way to hell in a handbasket with no hope and no strength. But the Bible tells us that when we were without strength, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. He demonstrated his love towards us when he sent Jesus to die for the ungodly. And he gave us the promise that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if we repent of our wicked deeds and turn to him in faith, believing in his death, burial, and resurrection, God says he'll forgive all our sins. He'll save us and give us a new heart and a new start. These people that we pick on, that's in sin, that's under the judgment, is a nation that needs to hear that God died for them, that God loves them, that though their sins be red as scarlet, he'll wash them as white as snow. That's the real story of the Bible. That's the real story of Romans 1. I pray that if there's anybody in here, amen, that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. But you don't know what I've done. I've got caught up in the list that you read. Listen, I'm telling you right now, God will take you. He'll take you back. He'll love on you. He'll forgive you and change you. You just got to call upon him. And that there might be some in here, amen, you're a believer already. But you found yourself bending and bowing to things in your former life. Going back to pictures and statues and candles. Going back to the things, amen, that destroyed you. Let me tell you, man. Realize, God is your spouse, man. And you got to be faithful to him. And when you're not faithful to him, listen, it's going to be trouble. Right? So listen, my time has elapsed. All right? But first service, if you'll just stand to your feet this morning. Just stand to your feet. We're going to pray as a church. And we're going to ask God to save us, to forgive us, and to use us. This right here is where most churches are falling off. They won't beat people up because of their sins, but offer no solution. No solution. No solution. Don't you dare be like that. Offer that same cross, that same Christ that saved your soul. Pray with me. Say, God, our Father, I thank you for loving me. I admit I've sinned against you, and I am so sorry. But I believe you that you died for my sins, that you were buried in the grave, and on the third day you rose. Lord, save me and give me a new heart. Give me a new start. Make me obey you. And use me for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him glory. Woo! Good Lord said the same. We'll pick up next time and finish point three and put some other things with that as well. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you. Bless you with peace, with shalom in your body, in your mind, in your family, in your children, and your children's children. May he bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you. Bless you. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful, unmatchable name we pray. Amen. 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 Love y'all. Be blessed. Be blessed.